We're just days away now from strike action on Wednesday by health staff across the country. Paramedics will join nurses on the picket line. Political parties are resuming talks today. You will hear them in the news say that health is their priority. Where have they been over the last 3 years? Have they been just watching waiting lists grow? Sir Geoffrey Donaldson of the DUP joins us this morning. Sir Geoffrey, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
How much does your party care? Because you haven't been on a different planet over the last few years. You've been watching as some of your voters sit on a waiting list.
Well, Stephen, we do care. And we're the only party in Northern Ireland who's done anything about this over the last 3 years. We secured an additional £200 million for healthcare transformation. Some of that money was invested in addressing the waiting list crisis. And we secured an additional £50 million for mental health services. So we've been seeking to address this, and we do it at a local level as well. Every day I'm dealing with constituents who find themselves in a situation where they're waiting longer than they should for vital treatment on the health service, and we do our best to help individuals. But clearly this needs a collective approach. One party can't do this on their own. We need to get Stormont back up and running. We've been saying that, Stephen, for a long time now.
You have, but also I've been listening to the radio this morning as both parties are talking about these waiting lists all of a sudden, and you're going into these talks, but you're both very, very good, Sir Geoffrey, at disagreeing with each other. If you really care, can you get this sorted soon?
I hope so, Stephen. I really genuinely hope so. It was clear as I was out canvassing during the campaign, election campaign on the doorsteps, that this is a huge issue. It's a huge issue for my constituents, and it is frankly their priority over all the other things that we discussed during the election campaign and have been discussing generally. This, I think, is the number one priority for the people I represent, and that's why it's so crucial we get agreement on getting these political institutions restored. There are decisions crying out to be taken. There are reforms that need to be made to address the crisis in our health service. We need to settle the pay award so that our healthcare staff are given a decent pay award in line with what their counterparts get in Great Britain. And all of that requires investment, Stephen. And whilst we've secured additional funding for the health service, we also need to go back to government again, collectively as political parties, and argue for more investment in the health service in Northern Ireland.
But if there is cross-party agreement that Northern Ireland's waiting lists are unacceptable and they are way out of kilter with waiting lists across the water, people are going ballistic across the water with waiting lists and ours are much, much worse. Why does it really need these talks to conclude? Julian Smith and your party and Sinn Féin and the other parties could be putting Julian Smith, the Secretary of State, under pressure to intervene now and sort it. And therefore the talks would not be used as leverage against people's health care.
Well, certainly, Stephen, we're up for that. And we've already talked to the Secretary of State about the crisis in the health service. We were doing that in the last few weeks. We were doing it before the election was called. We were talking to the Secretary of State about the need for additional funding to invest in the reform of the health service to tackle the waiting list crisis. And staffing as well, Stephen, is not just... The waiting lists are not just about reform, it's about increasing the number of nurses and doctors we have, and to attract more people into the health service, and they need a decent pay award. That is integral.
But Julian Smith could do that now, Geoffrey, couldn't he?
He could. Well, he could certainly assist us. I mean, at the end of the day, these are devolved issues, but the Secretary of State could assist with the necessary funding, I believe. For example, the gap in terms of the pay award that is being sought by our health.
And yet he's saying it, and yet he's saying it'll need Stormont to return. He's as much as saying that. That's him creating leverage over people's health, is it not?
Well, it's certainly putting pressure on the political parties. I think that's what the Secretary is trying to do. But, you know, I just think that the pay award issue in particular could be resolved quickly. I think the gap is £22 million. That's not a huge ask of the government at Westminster make up the difference avoid further industrial action. And I think that's very important. And that's something that could be done now.
Would you call on health workers to end their strike action on Wednesday to call it off?
Well, I think the best solution would be for the money to be put on the table, frankly, so that the healthcare workers get the pay award they deserve. I think that's the best way to avert further industrial action.
But if it's not, would you ask them to put their industrial action off?
I think it's unfair of political representatives to apply that kind of pressure. The unions have balloted the members. They've come to a democratic decision. It's unprecedented in terms of the RCN. We need to recognise that. This needs an urgent solution, Stephen. That's what I'm saying.
Let's talk about the reality for your party, that for the first time since partition, Northern Ireland has elected more Irish nationalists than unionist MPs. Does that worry you?
Well, of course, Stephen, that's a situation that would cause concern for anyone who values the union. I think that it shouldn't have happened. I've said already on the public record that we, as unionists collectively, need to look at the way that we approach elections. There are seats that could have been won by unionists that were lost because of unionist internal divisions within unionism. And we need to look also at the way in which we can broaden the appeal of unionism as well. So I think, Stephen, we need to reflect on all of this. We need to recognise that we need to do better collectively as a unionist family.
But how serious is the DUP about contemplating change? When you say you need to reflect, might there need to be root and branch change for how the DUP thinks?
Well, Stephen, every political party evolves its thinking. You know, you can't stand still in politics. We have been doing that. We've set out our 12-point plan for Northern Ireland. I think there are some new ideas in there in terms of the day-to-day issues that we need to address. But yes, we also need to broaden the appeal of unionism. I still think support for the union is solid, but I do recognise that the unionist vote is more splintered than it has been, and there's no doubt that the Alliance Party has attracted support, and quite where they stand on the union is a good question.
You were asked last week, towards the end of last week, on Good Morning Ulster, as to whether Arlene Foster was the right person to continue to lead your party. And there were some people speculating around your answer. You said your party needed to reflect on a whole wide range of things. Does your party need to reflect as to whether Arlene Foster is the right leader going into the future?
Look, Stephen, as I said last week, of course the DUP needs to, as all parties do. We're not the only party that saw a reduction in its vote. Actually, our core vote, I think, held up very well over Northern Ireland. But of course, we need to reflect. But in terms of the leadership issue, Stephen, the answer to that is categorically no. We need to get on with the job of getting Stormont restored. We will be there today. Arlene will be leading our team. We'll be there focused on the job in hand. That's where we are. We're united in our determination to try and get this over the line, get Stormont back up and running again. That was a clear message from this election. And that's where our focus is.
But once it is restored, would it not be a serious look at your party? How could you have a serious look at your own party and how you communicate with the electorate if you didn't consider whether you've got the right leader? And maybe the conclusion would then be, yes, you do. Is that not up for grabs at all?
Well, Stephen, we will, as I said on Friday, we will reflect on all aspects of the election. We'll look at it constituency.
Including the leadership.
Well, you see, that's a loaded question, Stephen, and you know what's a loaded question. And I've made my position very, very clear on that. Our focus is on the talks. There isn't a question about the leadership of the party. But we will all collectively, including Arlene, sit down and consider carefully what these election results mean, how we can do better in the future, how we can strengthen the position of unionism. That's our focus. But right now, our priority is to get Stormont back up and running, because when I was on the doorsteps, that's what people were saying very, very clearly.
There are some unionists who are worried that Boris Johnson's deal takes us closer to a united Ireland. Do you think it does?
It doesn't have to, Stephen. We will be talking to the government about what the deal means. Bear in mind, this is the withdrawal agreement. It's not the future relationship with the EU. I think that we can still address the future relationship in a way that ensures Northern Ireland remains an integral part of the United Kingdom, both economically and politically. But clearly, in the short term, we have real concerns about the proposed customs arrangements on goods travelling between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. We've articulated those concerns. That's why we voted against this deal in the last Parliament. And we'll be debating the deal this Friday in the House of Commons, and we'll be making those concerns very clear again.
And Boris Johnson, if he goes through with the proposed deal, how are you going to try to stop him? You've got no leverage now. He's got that overwhelming majority. What can you do to protect unionists in Northern Ireland if Boris Johnson's deal is indeed going to threaten the union?
Well, we operate in a parliamentary democracy, and political parties in Parliament still have a say, Stephen. And we will be there and making our views clear. We'll talk to the government. Boris Johnson made clear in his speech at the weekend after his election victory that he wants to ensure that all parts of the United Kingdom benefit going forward, are looked after, and that the rising tide lifts all the boats, including for Northern Ireland.
Do you trust him, Geoffrey?
We will be... Stephen, I trust myself and I trust our approach to
Do
this.
Do you trust the Prime Minister?
We have very real concerns about what the Prime Minister is proposing, and we've said that. He let us down badly in relation to the withdrawal agreement that he concluded. So obviously that influences our approach to this. Nevertheless, we recognise that he has won a significant victory in the election. He's got a large majority, and we have to work against that reality. Stephen, the Prime Minister, we need to engage with him, and we will. And we'll be challenging the Prime Minister on what he is going to do to ensure that Northern Ireland's place within the United Kingdom is secured. And that will be a priority for us in this parliamentary term.
And just one last question, because I know you need to go. Are you interested in being the new leader at Westminster now that Nigel Dodds has lost his seat?
Well, that's something our parliamentary party will decide, Stephen, and we'll meet and come to a decision on that.
Sure, but presumably they'll ask who's interested and who's not. Are you interested?
Well, of course I would. I've been chief whip of the parliamentary party and the longest serving MP from Northern Ireland, and I believe I can make a contribution at that level within Parliament.
Okay, Sir Geoffrey Donaldson. Thank you very much indeed. Listening to that, the newsletter's Sam McBride. Good morning to you, Sam.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So I was trying to push Sir Geoffrey there on whether Arlene Foster continues to have support within the DUP as the leader of their party. What do you think?
I think there will be a considerable degree of comfort for Arlene Foster in what Sir Geoffrey has said there. He is rowing back, I think, somewhat from what he was saying on Friday when he was leaving open various possibilities in terms of a leadership challenge. He then spoke to the Sunday Life in Coats, which they carried yesterday. And while those appeared to be quite robust and were saying that he was not going to challenge her, they were actually leaving quite a porous opening for him to come in if somebody else was to challenge her. He was not saying he was not interested in the leadership, just that he wasn't going to himself be the person who came forward. What he's talking about there to you seems to be firmer, seems to be rowing back from that. And I know that over the weekend, for instance, there have been people very close to Arlene Foster, or I should say at least one person that I'm aware of very close to Arlene Foster, who has been contacting people in the DUP who are possibly wavering about her leadership, trying to persuade them that Geoffrey Donaldson is not the right person to take over at this point. So there are lots of conversations going on and have been going on over the last 72 hours within the DUP. To those people who want to see change at the top, they will be disappointed by what Sir Geoffrey has said there. And I think one of the things which even some of those who are very supportive of him taking over as leader and who think that he is the answer to some of unionism's problems, some of the things that even those people would say is that he is not somebody who is always decisive. He is not somebody who is always prepared to put his neck out and take a difficult decision. And that potentially will unnerve them slightly, that even here where unionism has had its worst result in the history of Northern Ireland, after Arlene Foster has had almost 4 years in the job, all sorts of big reversals on her watch, he's still not prepared to say, actually, we need to change something here quite radically.
And Sir Geoffrey saying this morning that the DUP need to reflect. That's political speak, Sam, for they're prepared to look at themselves and change, is it? And how much would the DUP be capable of changing?
Well, I think one of the remarkable things about the last few days is that while it seems very obvious that anybody in a situation like this, whether it's Sinn Féin or the DUP, who have both had really very poor Westminster elections from different perspectives, would be saying, of course, we need to reflect, we need to make changes. We can argue about what those are, but clearly, if we keep on this current line, we are not going to succeed. That is something which Arlene Foster has not been able to bring herself to say. In several interviews, she has been very bullish, very robust, that really she sees no fault in herself. She sees no fault in what she has been doing as a leader. And so therefore, there seems to be a sense from her point of view that there is no need to really have any significant reflection on the major issues of strategy or leadership or those big ticket issues. At least by Sir Geoffrey Donaldson acknowledging that there needs to be something looked at there, I think that will to a certain extent reassure DUP voters or former DUP voters who are concerned that the party is potentially not getting the message that they have delivered to it. But he is being pretty careful in terms of the parameters for that and doesn't seem to be extending it to a change of leadership at this point.
I was listening to the radio driving in this morning, and you've got both Sinn Féin and the DUP, Sam, talking about how important it is to get Stormont back because of the unacceptable waiting lists in Northern Ireland. And I was screaming at the radio driving in, well, they've been watching these waiting lists grow, massively grow, over the last few years. They haven't been living outside the country while that's been happening. Why the momentum now? Is it because they recognise at last that the voters will punish them at an election if they don't sort it? And why didn't they get that message before now?
The answer to that, in short, is yes. It is very clear here. I mean, I've spoken to people, particularly in the DUP, who were canvassing. They were saying that Arlene Foster was coming up as an issue in the Doors, but also health and the absence of Stormont was a massive issue. It was bigger than Brexit. It was the issue, I think, probably more than anything else in this election, which hurt both of those parties in quite different ways. And I think that it is now a situation where both of those parties almost appear too desperate to get back into Stormont and may struggle to sell the compromise that is required to get that over the line. And so therefore, we could, in a few weeks' time, be looking at Stormont being restored, but being restored under two very weak leaders. Michelle O'Neill, we know, lost. She had 33% of people in her party voting for John O'Dowd when he challenged her. We know that Arlene Foster is deeply unpopular within a big section of unionism and within her own party. They have both lost significant support, and so from the off they would be going in not as Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness did in 2007 as very strong leaders who are able to have a honeymoon period. They would be going in, I think, from the off on the back foot, struggling to convince people that Stormont was different, that the compromise was worth it. And while the health issue is something that voters have been raising, they want something done about that. Voters can be very contradictory beasts. They can say on the one hand to people, we want Stormont back, we wanted to fix this, but they're not potentially prepared to accept the compromise on their side that will come to get that.